Labor Day blues. If you listen carefully to this story, there is a good reason if you are the worker that has been hired at 6 o'clock in the morning to feel a little frustrated. Let's recount what we just heard, the story that Jesus tells. This owner of a vineyard goes to a marketplace. Early in the morning, he gets a whole group of workers, and they go out and they get started. 9 o'clock, the landowner goes back and gets some more folks. 12 o'clock, more. 3 o'clock, more. 5 o'clock, more. Now, the folks that have been working since 6 o'clock in the morning, let's use imagination for just a moment and say that that's us. We've been out there since the sun was starting to come up. We've been working all day long. We're exhausted. We're sunburned. And we are ready to get paid. We've also noticed that during the day, more troops of folks have been showing up. We notice that as the landowner has his steward start to pay everybody, the payment is in cash, and we notice that the folks that showed up last get paid first. They only worked an hour. Now, you've been working all day long, and the folks that worked an hour, they just got oriented to the job when the whistle blew for the end of the day. We notice, those of us that have been working all day long, that the steward, the one giving out the money, gives to the ones that have worked only an hour the amount that we contracted with at the beginning of the day for a whole day's work. We conclude the logical. Wow, this is great. This is a cool place to work. We're going to get lots more because look how much they got for doing basically nothing. And then the steward comes to us and pays us the same that those folks got paid. Now, if you're like me and you hear this story that Jesus tells, you're going to have a reaction, especially if you've been using your imagination like me and you're the ones that have been working all day long. You're going to say, hold on just a second. That's not fair. Why is it not fair? Well, I've been working hard all day long. These folks show up at the last minute and they get the same that I get? That's not fair. Now, here's the very interesting layered nature of the story. As many of the parables that Jesus tells, it's got all kinds of stuff going on. So here's the background. What we're hearing is a business model. And by the way, if you're a small business owner, you have a reaction too. Not only that it's unfair to treat the folks that showed up at 6 o'clock for an all-day work and the folks that showed up at 5 paying the same thing. If you're a small business owner, you're going to say, this is a horrible business model. Because what's going to happen tomorrow? Nobody's going to show up at 6. Everybody's going to show up at 5. Your business is going to collapse. You will not be able to compete with the folks around you. Here's the thing that we're listening in on. The story that Jesus is telling gives us a window into a business model that's about 5,500 years old. It was true in Jesus' day. This is the way a lot of folks got work. In Washington, D.C., the same business model was taking place on New Hampshire Avenue. In Charlotte, North Carolina, the same business model is taking place on Wendover Avenue and South Tryon Street. And in Atlanta, Georgia, at 6 o'clock in the morning, if you go down Ponceleon, not too far from the Ponce Market, there are people of all different backgrounds lined up early before the sun comes up. What do they want? They want work. They're waiting to be hired. This has been going on for a long, long time. People like you and me need to pay their bills. They need to feed their families. So the insight we now have is that the folks that got hired at 6 and the folks that got hired at 5, there's something interesting going on. The dynamic that Jesus seems to be uncovering goes like this. When you show up, if you're a contractor and you need people to work for you, you pull up in your pickup truck and you roll down the window and you say, I need some people to work for me who have experience laying brick. And what happens with all those folks down on Ponce de Leon near Ponce Market? You have a whole group gathering around your pickup truck and they start saying, I can lay brick. I can lay brick. I can do that. And you're left with this dilemma. How do you choose who to hire? Well, if it were me, and I had a lot of work to be done, I'd be looking for people who were, I hate to say this, young, strong, who have the appearance of folks who can work hard all day long in the hot sun. Those are the ones that I'm going to hire at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, when the workers who get hired at 6 see what's happening, it reveals something very interesting. We're going to back up just a second and remind ourselves, the folks that got hired at 5, the owner of the vineyard shows up at the marketplace, the place across from Ponce Market on Ponce de Leon, and says to the people that are still standing there in the market, why have you not been hired? It's 5 o'clock. Why are you still here at the marketplace? And here comes one of the most poignant verses in the Bible. Because no one has hired us. Now, you knew what it felt like to be hired at 6 o'clock and be indignant at the folks that got hired at 5 and got paid the same amount of money? We hear the voices of the people at 5 and they say, we showed up at 6 o'clock in the morning, we wanted to get hired. We need to pay our bills, we got families that need to be taken care of. And the owner has asked the question, why are you still here? And they say, no one has hired us. Now, flip back to the 6 o'clock folks, the indignant ones, you and me who have been working hard all day long, we're furious because this landowner has the audacity to pay these at 5 the same amount. And we say another poignant and pointed phrase that leaps out in the story Jesus tells. Wait a minute. We've been working hard all day long, but you have made them equal to us. Listen carefully to the way that sounds. You have made them equal to us. And we know it's not true because we are better than them. We got hired first and have been working all day long. And this is where it gets controversial. Jesus, in the telling of this story, through the perspective and the heart of the landowner who pays everybody the same, we find out this is not so much a business model as it is what Jesus says at the very beginning. Brothers and sisters, this is what the kingdom of God is like. How does it feel to be a 5 o'clock worker who has gotten overlooked, not picked? How do you feel if every time a pickup truck shows up and you wave your hand and say, I'm good, I can get hired, I can do that, and over and over and over again. You get rejected, passed over, pushed aside. How does that feel? And Jesus says, that may be true in the business world, but in the kingdom of God, you are equal, of equal value, of equal beauty, of equal importance. In God's eyes, you are the same, and you're beautiful and good and righteous. And I want you in my vineyard. Every couple of years, I've had the great joy of being able to take people to Israel and Palestine on trips. And as a prelude to that trip, we get to go on a thing the last few times called the Jesus Trail. For those who are able to hike 40 miles from Nazareth to the Sea of Galilee, we start in Nazareth and we begin walking. Now, Nazareth today is on the screen. For those of you listening on the radio, we've got on the screen a picture of Nazareth. Today, it's a thriving town. In Jesus' day, it was a lot smaller, a lot simpler, but it was in this spot. Nazareth today is built over the Nazareth of Jesus' day. It was in this very place. When we walk from Nazareth to the Sea of Galilee, we start where I'm standing now. This is actually from my hotel room. We leave from the hotel room and we begin hiking. Now, you notice this is on a ridge, Nazareth is, and so we begin to go up fairly steeply, and on the screen you see a dome to the left and a bell tower to the right. Bell tower has a red tile roof. We go up the steep stairway that goes between this dome and the bell tower, and we come to the top of the ridge of Nazareth. It's called Upper Nazareth. And from Upper Nazareth, from the top of this ridge, we see this remarkable view. From the top of where Nazareth is located, we look out, and the arrow you see is pointing to a city called Sepphoris. Now, Sepphoris was, in Jesus' day, a thriving cosmopolitan town of about 25,000 people. It was started and was being expanded by a fellow named Herod Antipas. We hear about Herod Antipas in the Bible, in the New Testament. He is the son of Herod the Great. He was actually competing with his father's legacy and was trying to build lots of cool stuff in and around Sepphoris to impress visitors and to, frankly, attract tourism trade. So there was constant building going on in and around Sepphoris. Today, Sepphoris is just an archaeological dig, but when we visit, it is an amazing array of mosaics and houses and things that were built right at the time of when Jesus was a little boy all the way through his adulthood. It's an incredible archaeological find that is rich, filled with all kinds of information. Here's the thing that's poignant and particularly of importance today. We stand now in Nazareth, looking out over this valley, and we see the archaeological dig of Sepphoris. As the crow flies, it's about 3.5 miles. But to walk today, it's about 5 miles. And this is, by the way, Randall Hampton put that on there. I didn't like it, but he did it. And so there you go. These little yellow people going around. He wanted to illustrate the fact that you kind of go around the construction areas. So 5 miles or so, this is now what we see. The scenery on this trip is quite beautiful. Striking landscape of barley fields and all kinds of lovely greenery. Okay, so Sepphoris, this is a little closer view of Sepphoris. You see the mound now more clearly, the archaeological dig, and then the scenery from where we started in Nazareth to Sepphoris. Let's go to the next slide, and you'll see the hiking that takes place, the 5 miles or so from Nazareth to Sepphoris. Now, why in the world is this important? In the New Testament, we find out that Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, had an occupation. Anybody remember what it was? Most of us learned as early folks coming to church that carpentry, he was a carpenter. In fact, Joseph and then Jesus as his apprentice growing up, the word in the New Testament, Greek, is tekton. Some of you may have heard this word tectonics comes from the Greek word tecton. Tecton actually can mean carpenter, but it's a broader term in Greek. In Jesus' day, there was carpentry. People built things of wood. But as you can see from this landscape, there was stone that was really the primary building block. And so what tecton actually meant was not just carpenter, but worker or builder. Nazareth was a town in Jesus' day of about 50 families. Not a lot was going on in Nazareth, especially in the way of building. If you're a tecton, a worker, a builder, a carpenter, and you need to pay your bills, you have to find somewhere that things are being built. Sepphoris was a metropolitan area where lots of stuff was going on, and sort of like Atlanta today, lots of things were being built. Guess what they needed in Sepphoris? They needed workers and builders. Now imagine Jesus as a little boy, and Joseph walks the 3.5 miles from Nazareth to Sepphoris early in the morning. He gets to the marketplace in Sepphoris about 6 o'clock. He comes home that night about 8 o'clock. And Mary says, "Joseph, how did the day go?" And Joseph says, "Nobody would hire me. They say I'm too old." Jesus overhears. A little while later, Jesus is a little older, and maybe as a young teenager, he goes with his dad to the marketplace. And they come back that night, and Mary says, "How did it go?" And they say, "Nobody hired us." In fact, they made fun of us, and these Roman architects and contractors called us Jew boys and made us feel like second-class citizens. When Jesus tells this story, it's not just some kind of philosophical what if. Jesus knows how it feels to be left out. Jesus knows. Jesus saw. Jesus heard what it felt like to have people overlook you, take you for granted, wait until 5 o'clock in the afternoon and say, "Why are you standing here like lazy people?" And Jesus heard Joseph say, "I was trying. I needed to pay my bills, but nobody would hire me." If you have ever felt left out, if you have ever felt like a second-class citizen, if you have ever felt unwanted or unneeded or uncared for, Jesus knows exactly how you feel. And the good news is the owner of the vineyard at the end of the day says, "I need you in my vineyard. You may have been standing here all day in the marketplace wishing to be hired. I'm going to hire you because to me, you are beautiful." Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.